You're listening to That Park Life podcast.
From attraction deep dives
to resort rundowns
to cast member chats,
they're here to help you live that park life.
Here they are now,
Beth and Greg.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We're now officially at 5 years and 1 week into this podcast. Thank you all for joining us last week for our 5 year celebration.
Yeah, and we're at episode 250. Burr, 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 burr. Hey, it's Franklin coming over to play. Yeah, you'd have to listen to that chat for that. Yeah, 250. I was like, man, if only our 5 year anniversary would have landed on our 250 episode, but it's all good.
Should we be dramatic? How when people want to make a sum of money seem larger, they'll call 250K a quarter of a million. So are we at a quarter of a thousand episodes already? Oh my goodness.
We're at a quarter of a thousand episodes, guys.
So many.
We're a quarter of a halfway there.
Wow.
What? We're halfway there.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Oh, we doing it. Thanks everyone though, again, for all the sweet comments from last week's episode. We really appreciated that. And thanks for loving what we do.
I would say about 10 people have correctly guessed the mashup. So, given one more week.
I totally forgot about the mashup.
Yeah, one more week, everyone.
10? That's good.
10 people. And if you missed it, you know what? I'll just play it real here. Play it here real quick. If you maybe didn't catch our episode last week, but here's the magic mashup and your goal. You'll have to go back and listen. If you want to hear the full rules and stuff, but you do have to name all five songs in this. So let's see if you can, maybe a week has gone by. Maybe you've gotten fresh ears and this is your week to figure it out.
You know what I heard? Hey, it's Franklin. Oh, sorry, Krista, if you're listening to this. It's gonna be a day. 10 people, that's pretty good though.
Yeah, that's, and there were more guesses than that, but just not everyone was getting it right. So everyone who did correctly guess will be just entered in, and I'll be randomly pulling a name. But if you want to put your name in that ring, maybe now's your chance.
Right. Tell them what they win, Greg.
They win a 25. That's 2-5. That's a quarter of $100 in a Disney gift card.
Quarter of 100.
$25.
It's halfway to 50.
It is.
Let's talk about this shirt that you're wearing, too, because I just noticed. Is it brand new?
No, I just haven't worn it yet since I purchased. Maybe it's like 6 months ago.
It's retro.
Yeah, it's an old school Epcot logo, like probably from when the park opened in the 80s. It's technically, I think, an Imagineering shirt. But it does have the Epcot, the newer Epcot logo on the side, which is actually the new is the old. So this might actually be the old Epcot logo.
I think you need to take a picture of it and post it.
And then it's also got like the old
little tag.
Yeah. Is very nice. If any of you have seen like an old school Epcot poster where it's kind of neon, it's got like the beams of light coming around the side, kind of like the monorail track-ish.
Yeah.
That's what this shirt is.
Me likey. Mm. Good stuff. Well, you've done some things in the last week or so.
Yeah. Before we get into our big tap, the BT, the big topic of the week,
a BT?
More fun with Disney AI.
Are we doing that now?
Yeah. It's all part of the big tap. More fun with Disney AI. A couple things that I got to do between last week's episode and today. I might have been recovering from a possible food-related illness, undetermined. I'm going with it because it just is easier to explain that way. But my stomach was not playing nicely. However, I was like, I want to go to Flower Garden because I've seen all this food and I
Because food.
And I know that I'm on this food journey that, which I'm almost at a year of minimizing processed foods in my life. But I just wanted to eat something because I was finally getting my appetite back and I just wanted to like enjoy life for a moment. But I wanted a quick meal and I haven't had I don't think I've tried any of the kids' meals over at Connections Eatery before. So I got the grilled chicken bao. So it's a bao bun that has it's not a complex meal. It was two little mini chicken strips with some shredded lettuce in a folded bao, like bread type of thing.
Okay.
That's it. And then the sides I got were double fries instead of like an orange or whatever. Mm-hmm. I got the double or a yogurt or whatever the crap they have. So got the double fries. Got a lot of dipping sauces because I was trying to make the most of it. Got some honey mustard. I got some ranch and barbecue so I could have a grilled chicken bao a la Greg.
A la Greg.
Yeah, mm-hmm. as best I could. But it did exactly what I needed it to do. I just need a little good solid foundation in the belly. Obviously, it's a kid's meal, so it comes with a drink. So I got my little bottle of water. All in all, like it was good. Would recommend as like a quick something snack? More solid base than anything else. If you think about it compared to the price of food at the booths, you are getting a lot for the $7.99.
Yeah. Gosh, yes.
An entree, two sides, and a bottle of water or a different drink. Beverage. Anyway, so I got my little foundation. Good. And I thought, okay, I at least want to get a dessert while I'm here at Flower and Garden. So I went over to the Swirled Showcase. Get it? Instead of World Showcase, everyone. Ooh. It's Swirled because they sell a lot of ice cream at this booth. But I got the Liquid Nitro Honey Mascarpone Cheesecake, which was
incredible,
out of this world. So after you order it, they instructed me to watch them make it. They were like, "Oh, you can want like there's a window there. Why don't you watch us make it?" I was like, "Oh, okay."
Please step to the side and watch us. Yeah. Please make eye contact while we're making your dessert. I mean, that's what it felt like.
You will watch us, and you will like it.
You're like leaning into the glass. Yes.
And take this quiz now. Mm-hmm. So they scoop out the little scoop of cheese, like pre-made cheesecake kind of a thing. And then they flash freeze it like right there in front of you and they plop it on a plate. And then she takes out this hammer and smashes it. So it like smooshes out. So now it's a little bit more flat. And then they drizzle honey on top. They sprinkle a little granulated honey on top of that. Mm-hmm. And then on the plate was already the blueberry compote on the sides. But the presentation was like fun. Like if I were a kid watching that, I'd be like, oh, like, that's so cool. And it just tasted so good. Like that was hands down a great dessert option.
What was the price of it? I don't remember what.
$5.25. So $5.25.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah.
Very good. I've paid more for less. Like a typical cupcake now these days is like $6.49 or whatever. Like that was a good dessert for $5.25.
You think you'll get it again this like?
Oh, 100%. This season? Definitely going to get it again this season.
Yeah.
And the following day, the next day, which was my Sunday, but it is Saturday, we wanted to go to a park, Nicole and I, we were looking to do something. I was like, I don't know, is it Saturday? It's officially spring break season now. So one, the traffic is atrocious.
Gosh, that's weird to think of.
Yeah, it's the whole month of March always. And then usually the first 2 weeks of April, depending on where Easter falls and all that. But it's already spring break time. So the crowds are here. And so we're like, you know, let's just go maybe catch a vibe somewhere. So obviously, the Contemporary popped up into our mind about a place we could go, an available option for us. So, by the way, if you're wondering, how does one get to the Contemporary if you're not staying there? It's easy. You can just park at the Ticket and Transportation Center and monorail on over. And we're so glad we did visit the Contemporary. We just had like a nice relaxing time. We once we got there, I think we went shopping first. It's one of our favorite things to do anyway. We really love their BVG, their gift shop up there. We find that they always have good stuff that you'd find in the Contemporary.
They do always
In the Emporium is the name of the place.
Emporium.
Yeah. There's just always a bunch of good stuff. But
can you mobile check out there or do you have to go to the counter?
Most resorts, actually, I don't think any resort has a mobile checkout for merchandise, except like Springs is the only non-park location I could think of that has the mobile checkout on the phone. Of course, you can mobile order at the locations, for the dining locations, quick service locations. But we decided to go hang out outside a little bit. Of course, we were walking around. The trees were in bloom back there. We had taken our wedding photos there in March of 2015. So we probably won't be there on our wedding day. But since we were there in at least the month of March, we were just reminiscing a little bit, seeing the trees that were in bloom in the same season as they were when we were there on our wedding day. We were laughing about you because you every now and then will sing that line from Encanto that we don't talk about Bruno. There's a couple episodes in a row, like right when that movie came out, where you just kept singing the line of it was her wedding day.
Oh, it was my wedding. It was her wedding day.
For some reason, that has stuck.
In a cloudiness. No clouds allowed in disguise.
For some reason, that like you singing that has stayed in my and Nicole's brain. And we don't know why. That's funny. The thing. That's the legacy you've left on us.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So we're hanging out outside, and they've really upped their furniture game out there, by the way, in the sense that there's furniture outside to like relax on.
In a sense that there is furniture
other
now.
Than by the pool. I'm not talking about by the pool area, or there's this kind of fire pit area, just like different, like in different areas. They just put in like that, is it rattan? You like that material? I don't know what it is. Yeah. It almost looks
wicker.
Like, it's like a plastic wicker, right?
But yeah.
That kind of stuff. but with like nice cushions. It looks like it belongs on someone's like patio. Like it's patio furniture
outdoor.
Out there.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's like Southern outdoor furniture. It's
patio furniture.
Yeah, patio furniture.
Yeah, and like it's comfortable though. Like it was nice. So we sat up by the marina and we were just enjoying the nice cool breeze because it's still cool breeze season at this time. And we were just watching the ships out there on Bay Lake. Ships. Watching the boats out there
the
on
ships.
Bay Lake. And it just
we're watching the ships come into port and yes. out of port and at the
a very
Bay
nautical
Lake.
Time. It was really nice. We had a really nice relaxing moment. We went back inside. We were people and character watching, which means we go up to like a higher floor in the Contemporary and look out over, in a not creepy way, I promise, out sure. over Chef Mickey and then Contempo Cafe. And oh, then yeah. we went down to Contempo Cafe. And we ate, and like you might be thinking, well, Greg, you just were talking about how maybe you were dealing with kind of stomach issues, you're on a food journey, and here you are at yet another quick service location, to which I say nay, nay. We brought our own food. We had a lunch bag with us. We sat at a table. We heated our food up in the microwave there.
Microwave.
And we had our own little lunch we brought from home.
Y'all are like the people that they're like, there they are again.
There they are again.
The people that use the microwave. No one else uses it. It's just them two.
Yeah.
When they come for lunch.
Listen, judge all you want. And it was very busy. There must be like dance teams in town.
Oh, yeah.
Not must be. Something. I saw them. So like it was this particular time was flooded with
it's
people.
Competition season two.
And we had a great, really nice relaxing time. And it is the thing I think I enjoy the most about being a local. Don't get me wrong. I love going to the parks. But like these moments where.
Yeah.
We just wanted a bit of an outing. Didn't want to sit at home, but we still wanted to do something Disney that's like not full on in the parks and kind of getting tired of all that. Getting tired from going to walking around the parks and stuff. I needed a relaxing time. It was very relaxing, very therapeutic. We had a great time.
Definitely a plus to being local.
It is very nice. Just like we did in part one, we posed some questions to I actually chose different AI platforms. I did like a little variety to see what like the differences and answers are. Google has their own AI now called Gemini, which I downloaded on my phone.
You're gonna die twice.
What is that from?
I think it was Chris Rock's No Sex in the Champagne Room, I believe.
Oh my gosh. I forgot about that.
Anyways.
Also, ChatGPT is another more probably famous version of AI that you could use to just, you know, it's for text, right? It doesn't produce images or anything. So posing some questions to the different AI bots, which will spit out some answers. And of course, we'll weigh in on how we feel about these answers. Mm-hmm. And then I'm really excited about one question. In particular. I'm going to tell you the question now, but we're going to do it at the end. The question I posed was what are some good baby names for Disney park lovers?
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to hear.
The one negative to this is that it won't get dirty. So like I was asking the different AIs to do like describe you name it attraction like it's an adult novel or something. Like I just wanted to see what it would say, and it won't bite. It won't do it. I just wanted to
You're like dirtier. You're typing dirty. In you're like dirtier. Make it dirtier. Because we are a disgusting podcast.
I want to be embarrassed. Yes. and then we'll also have some fun with AI where Beth and I have both input some stuff and then it spit out some answers, but we're going to make it like a guessing game between us. Yeah. So
can't wait.
Here we go.
You're like, sorry, I have to go back to the thing where you're like, use the word panty now. Now use the word moist. Anyways, okay, sorry. Moving on. All right, I'm going to start and kick us off with the first question here.
Yeah.
And the question that you posed was, which Disney World park is best for adults? So, you know, obviously, they all have things for adults now, but the answer was, you probably could guess it, is Epcot. Epcot's generally considered the best for adults, and here's why. So the first thing that they mentioned was food and drink. Epcot's World Showcase features pavilions from 11 different countries, each of its own unique cuisine and beverages. This allows adults to embark on a culinary journey around the world, trying authentic dishes and drinks from each location. And then it says many adults enjoy drinking around the world, sampling alcoholic beverages from each pavilion. Though it's important to drink responsibly. It said that?
Yeah, thanks AI. Yeah, they really care about you.
Surprised they didn't like offer a local number for
or a link to a certain beer.
The thrills is the next thing that they mention. It says Epcot also boasts some of the park's most thrilling rides, including Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, a high-speed spinning coaster, and Test Track, high-octane car design and testing experience.
High-octane AI, get out of here. High-octane,
you can suck it. the next thing they mentioned was festivals. Throughout the year, Epcot hosts several international festivals, such as the International Food and Wine Festival and the International Flower and Garden Festival.
Flogar.
These festivals offer even more unique food and drink options, along with special events and entertainment. That is true. And then relaxation. While Epcot can be busy, it generally has a more relaxed atmosphere compared to some of the other parks. This can be a welcome change for adults looking to escape the hustle and bustle. The ultimately part right here, did they say that too?
Yeah, this is all okay. Copy-pasted.
Okay, it says, ultimately, the best Disney World park for adults depends on their individual preferences. However, Epcot's combination of international flavors, thrilling rides, and special events make it a top choice for many adult visitors.
Do you agree?
I don't agree.
Oh, okay. Well, what is the Beth's answer for best park
well,
for adults?
Well, I mean, I guess it is. I mean, I feel like the main part of that is, well, adults just want to come here and eat and drink. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm a kid at heart. And so to me, it's not like the most. I think it just depends on what your goals are.
Okay.
Like, I've never really done drinking around the world. That's just not a priority for me. I'm like, I want to get on rides. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be drunk while I'm, you know what I mean?
I totally to ride get rides. It.
I don't know. I understand why I came up with this, but I'm like, it just depends on what you're here to do.
Yeah. I think for me, like a situation like this or a question like this is usually posed by someone who I think wants to drink. Like if a non-Disney adult were to come up to me and say, like, I'm gonna be another one day for work. I want to go to one park just to like go. What would be a park? I'm like, just go to Epcot because you're going to find a food item that you're probably not going to find at home, and you can find a drink and like call it a
night.
And
you're going to be able to drink.
Yeah.
But it's like you can drink really at every other park now, but like if that's your go-to. I mean, that's, I guess, the one thing that like only adults can do, right, that kids can't do is the alcohol stuff.
They're not supposed to drink, but we'll see.
You know.
Hey, it's vacation.
A lot of European kids drink wine like from very young ages, so... it's like I agree, I guess, in the sense that like this is probably the right answer. This is the one that I thought AI would come up with, but for me personally, I'm like, well, it really just depends on what you're there to do. So
yeah, I would, if not Epcot, then I would say maybe Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, that might be the other one because it's more like movie centric, but you can drink there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
you can go to Baseline Tap House.
Baseline
Tap House. Get listen it. To that baby making
sounds,
music soundtrack.
Sounds like a strip club. Baseline Tap
Honestly,
House.
Honestly, did you ever hear the music there? I'm sure we've talked about this. The music there.
Yeah, we have.
It sets
a mood.
About it. It certainly does.
For sure. Little bit of... I'm never gonna dance again. Guilty feet have got no rhythm.
I just heard that song last night. Isn't that weird?
Oh my God, it's such a good song.
Okay, next question that we posed to AI. Which Disney World restaurant has the most exotic menu?
Mm.
Interesting. It spit out two answers, which I thought was interesting. One at Animal Kingdom and one at Magic Kingdom.
Would not have guessed that.
When it comes to the most exotic menu at Disney World, two restaurants stand out. Number one, Tiffin's Restaurant in Disney's Animal Kingdom. This signature dining restaurant offers a unique blend of African and Indian-inspired cuisine. This is probably the right answer. The menu features adventurous dishes like charred octopus with chorizo and spiced lamb shank. They also have a wide selection of African wines and craft beers to complement the food. I have yet to eat at Tiffin's. However, I have heard a lot of good things about the Tiffin's. One day I'll get there.
One day we will get there.
Yes. Oh, maybe
we need
both.
To make that a priority on my next trip in town.
We could do that.
Now, I'm not going to get charred octopus. That's for damn sure. But isn't that Tiffin's is where they have the bar, right?
The Nomad Lounge is connected.
That's the one
that's connected.
That's what
to
I'm
Tiffin's.
Thinking. Of.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's on the way to Pandora. If you're wondering where it is, everyone.
That
is
I would have guessed. Yeah. Like I definitely am. Like it's something in Animal Kingdom for sure.
Yeah. Number two, according to this, was the Jungle Navigation Company Skipper Canteen over in Magic Kingdom. This fun and quirky restaurant is themed after the Jungle Cruise attraction and features dishes inspired by the diverse cultures of Asia, Africa, and South America. The menu includes items like curried sausage with pineapple chutney. That sounds delicious. Seared ahi tuna and wasabi cream. And smoked chipotle spiced chicken, which also sounds delicious. Now, those meals aren't called that, The tastes like chicken have. Because it is, I believe, is the chipotle spiced chicken, and it is delicious. It is so good.
I would have thought something like boma or like so. I would have thought it would have been something else in Animal Kingdom that would have been exotic.
Boma is interesting because the boma, not boma or breakfast, Sanaa. Everyone, but boma dinner has a little more exotic. But I think like percentage wise of the menu, I think Tiffin's is more exotic than it is not.
Yeah.
Whereas the boma dinner one, it's a buffet, so they have a little bit of American there. But Sanaa's an interesting one. I feel like that, or Jiko too, the two other table service restaurants there at the Animal Kingdom Lodge or Kidani Village, would probably be in top five if I take a guess.
Yeah. Maybe we should have done top five.
Mm.
We'll go back.
I asked, but for I never would have guessed.
I never would have. Yeah, I never would have guessed Skipper Canteen though.
Interesting. So I mean,
I just felt like their menu was not that big. So I don't know, but I guess it is like pretty.
It's exotic compared to the other places. I know usually when I'm hyping someone up on it, they look at them and you're like, oh, I don't like anything. I'm like, well, that's okay. But just maybe ask if you can walk around in there because it's like there's some jokes in there.
Well, because it's not typical like comfort food. Like it's correct, not like, oh, I'm on vacation and I want to eat something fried, you know? It's not like that. It's more of a...
It's a specific taste. An acquired taste, you might say.
Yeah. All right. Our next question here. Is which Disney songs are the best to set an amorous mood? I'm like, what a word, Greg.
Well, it wouldn't let me, whenever I try to use a word other than amorous, like everybody.
Sexy or.
I used the word erotic, but it didn't like that either.
Did you try it in different things to see, like, different AI tools?
Yeah, they all don't want to be dirty.
That's so interesting. Okay. So it says, here's the answer, right? While Disney is known for its family-friendly atmosphere, several songs can set a romantic and amorous mood. Here are some options depending on the specific mood you're aiming for. So classic and romantic, it split it up into classic and romantic and then slower and more intimate.
Hello.
I guess you could have said intimate, maybe. It would have taken that one.
Hmm.
All right, classic and romantic is Can You Feel the Love Tonight, The Lion King. This timeless ballad evokes a sense of deep connection and emotional intimacy. Yeah, because you see how Nala looks at him? Okay. Beauty and the Beast, obviously. This song title captures the blossoming love between two individuals from different worlds. Because one of them's human and the other is an animal. The next one is A Whole New World from Aladdin. This enchanting duet paints a picture of adventure and shared discovery, adding a touch of excitement to the romantic atmosphere. The next one is Someday from The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Okay.
Which I thought was interesting.
Interesting.
This powerful song expresses longing and the hope for a brighter future together. And then, of course, Little Mermaid, Kiss the Girl. This playful and lighthearted song adds a touch of fun to the romantic setting. Slower and more intimate.
But hold on, before that, the Kiss the Girl, like, I kind of get. It's interesting, though, if your partner that you're with is not a girl, but that's fine.
Yeah, okay.
And true. The Someday I'm With You is an interesting choice. Beauty and the Beast is also interesting because, like, it depends on who, like, let's say it's me and Nicole, and I decide to play Beauty and the Beast. Am I calling her the beauty in this? Why do I have to be the Beast?
Oldest time. I think it is more so the setting. Like, to me, when I hear that song, I do think, like, romantically because of the setting of the song in the movie. It's like,
that's true, yeah.
Oh, this is when she, like, it's the, gets it's the together big sweeping with him.
Emotion scene. I get it. Okay,
yeah. Fine. So I think that's what I connect to it.
Okay. All right, I'm on board.
And kind of the same Kiss the Girl. It's like, oh, it's like percussion. Do-do-do-do-do. Like, when the way that they're going through, you're like, oh my God, this is when they're like, you know, realizing that they just really like each other and all that stuff.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, slower and more intimate section is I See the Light from Tangled, which I totally agree with. It's a delicate and emotional duet showcases the realization of newfound love, which I love. I feel like this should have been in the classic. So This Is Love from Cinderella. This sweet and innocent song captures the wonder and joy of falling in love for the first time, which I also feel like should have been a classic. So this is love. Anyways, Baby Mine from Dumbo. While not explicitly romantic, this tender lullaby conveys a sense of love and devotion that can resonate with couples. I don't agree with that. I feel like this is more of a parent-to-child love.
Yes, agree.
Not a love between couples. And then When She Loved Me, Toy Story 2. This poignant song explores the bittersweet and love of love and loss, adding a touch of depth and melancholic beauty to the mood.
So you're telling me, Beth, not you.
I don't know about When She Loved
AI
Me.
AI is telling me that I'm in bed, right? I'm feeling amorous. There are some candles lit. I've had a light dinner so I don't gas someone out. And then the lights go off and then we hear this.
When somebody loved me, everything was beautiful.
And then it's time to...
Yeah, that's really sad.
No.
I love this, the definition of amorous. Showing, feeling, or relating to sexual desire. Yeah, to me, that song is like a sad song.
It's so sad.
It's when somebody loved me.
Good gosh.
Like, it's talking about how you don't have anyone that loves you right now.
I can't fathom a world. I can't believe that a world exists where that's the moment. That's the time, right? That's the setting. Yeah. And when you're looking into each other's eyes, you're falling in love, and then the mattress mambo takes place. There's no way. Like, this is made up.
Also, I feel like, how could they not have put any songs from Tarzan in here? I feel like there's some good ones from Tarzan that they missed.
Strangers
out
Like
on.
Me?
No. Well, it could be. I mean, I think Someday should have been replaced by at least So This Is Love. And I think I See the Light should have been up there in front of something else. Mm.
I have an idea. I would like to make a suggestion. Tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
I think we should post to our story when this episode releases and allow people to submit anonymously. What's your amorous mood Disney song?
Yes, let's do it.
And it will truly be anonymous. Like, there really isn't a way to track anything. I'm so curious. Now, if one of you says When She Loved Me, I'm going to accuse you of being a liar.
I mean, I'm just going to tell you mine right now is I See the Light.
Okay. That's of course you would say that.
That song is my jam.
Yes.
Because Doug and I could sing it to each other.
Gosh.
And at last I see the light, and it's like the fog is lifted. Anyways, that's my jam. But yeah, now I'm really curious, so I can't wait. Okay, everyone, make sure you go to our Instagram and type in your answers, and we're going to go over them next week, okay? Good stuff.
See how you all compare to the answers.
We should have done this for the Valentine's Day episode.
Oh, my gosh.
It's all good.
Oh, yeah.
Next
well,
year.
You know what?
Maybe next year.
Every day is Valentine's Day when you're in love.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Shut up.
Next question we posed to AI. Tell me some little known facts about Hollywood Studios.
Studios.
Here are some little known facts about Disney's Hollywood Studios. One, it was a former working studio. While primarily a theme park today, Hollywood Studios actually functioned as a working production studio from 1989 to 1991. That's it? I feel like there might have been more. The Mickey Mouse Club, not like the old version, but a newer version. I was not in the audience, but my brother and our neighbor was one time. They used to be filmed there. Filmed there. It started some careers of some celebs that you may have heard of.
Which is crazy.
Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears.
That's where they went to record? Like, that's where they went to...
Maybe. I don't know. Do not know. A hidden restaurant. The Tower of Terror features a hidden restaurant. Now, restaurants in quotes. Called the Sunset Room. And the AI continues on with this elaborate set piece appears abandoned and dusty. And, okay, everyone, it's not a restaurant, right? It's not actually a functional space.
Is this doorway real?
I'm not even sure if the doorway opens, but if it does, I'm sure it's to a backstage, like, merch stocking room or something.
Is that door actually there? Like, I don't think I've ever noticed it.
Yeah, so, like, you'll notice that the flooring, like, the tiling changes in that area. Yeah. And then one of those tile configurations is a hidden Mickey, by the way, that's near this. But if you're exiting the attraction, like, you're still in the basement of, you got off, you look at your photo, you go down that hallway before you get to the gift shop, before the, like, that iron fence, there's a door off to the side that says Sunset Room over the archway. There's also there used to be a menu posted. I don't know if they still have the menu posted. I have to go look.
Okay, I feel like I vaguely remember this now,
but the Sunset Room, which is an interesting part of maybe the storyline, but it's not really a restaurant.
It is probably something that you've literally walked by a million times like me and just not really paid attention to what it was.
The other interesting fact, according to AI, Audrey Hepburn's handprints. Hollywood Studios is the only place in the world where you can find handprints dedicated to actress Audrey Hepburn. While most handprints outside the park's Chinese theater are real, Hepburn's is a unique tribute, as the legend goes that no impression was ever taken.
Burp. This is not real.
Burp, burp.
This is what I'm debunking. Because Doug and I just watched the Disney MGM Studios theme park grand opening from 1989. And if you watch the video on YouTube, about an hour and 29 minutes in, you will see all of them actually giving their real hand impressions and signing. So that is definitely not true. And that's why I was like, when I read this, I was like, wait, we just watched that. And I know she was at least in the parade down the thing. And then I went back and watched
the clip. You, like, was... in the clip, Audrey Hepburn is there and puts her hand in?
Yes. If you go in my notes.
Oh.
Go in my notes. Oh, I put on. The clip on. Like, I actually added the YouTube link right there. And if you go to 1 hour and 29 minutes in, you will actually see all of them standing there signing their things and with their handprints. Like, they all have their hands touching the things.
Is she wearing black with, like, white cuff
things? She's wearing black. Yeah. In the back. She's in the back left.
Oh, there it is. Audrey Hepburn. That's her.
They're literally all standing there doing it.
They just did a close-up of her. Yeah. Of her
So that's interesting to me that that's, like, a theory that it's not her real handprints. Because I'm like... Because I feel like we have talked about this before. Look, like, and they even do a close-up, yeah, of her signing it. And then you see all of them holding their hands on it. So, debunked.
Huh. Beth brought the receipts today.
I did.
Holy moly.
But also, please go watch that video, like, the whole video, because, like, they just don't do stuff like this anymore, really. Hmm. I mean, obviously, they haven't had a new land opening in forever, but it's just crazy. Like, all the celebrities involved in, like, this huge production. It's under Progress City Public TV.
Hmm. Okay.
Is the account, and it's the Disney MGM Studios theme park grand opening, 1989.
Interesting.
And the best part is watching the old commercials, because you're like, oh my gosh, yes, I remember these. Some of them, you know. Good stuff. But anyways, okay, keep going. That was the one I wanted to debunk.
Next item on the list of interesting things, according to our little known facts, no original attractions remain. Since its opening in 1989, none of the original attractions at Hollywood Studios have remained. The last original attraction, the Great Movie Ride, closed in 2017. Next, Sunset Boulevard's alternate history. The land of Sunset Boulevard was almost a Roger Rabbit land themed area. Imagineers initially considered this concept before settling on current Hollywood theme. Boy, am I glad. I do like a good Roger Rabbit. But
I know, I would have loved it.
Just, I love the vibe of the sunset and Hollywood and the old Hollywood stuff. So,
fun fact, Roger Rabbit used to be at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, we talked about his little cutout above the Hollywood and Vine restaurant and our splurge options in Hollywood Studios. And the last thing that AI listed here as a little known fact for Hollywood Studios is that Hollywood Brown Derby is a replica. The Hollywood Brown Derby restaurant at the park is actually a meticulously crafted replica of the famed original location in Hollywood, California. We've kind of talked about this.
Yeah, we have.
Some of the designs on the inside and all that, decorations on the inside are all there to resemble the real Hollywood Brown Derby. Oh, and then the last question. This is the one I teased in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It was, the question is, what are some good baby names for Disney park lovers? And I thought, okay. So it split it up into like a couple different categories. So this is what it has to say about this question. Here are some baby name ideas for Disney World lovers categorized by approach. If you're looking for subtle Disney references, and I would like to repeat that, subtle Disney references, names from nature. Many Disney movies feature beautiful natural settings. Names like Everest, like Expedition Everest, Moana, which means ocean, but also it's the name of the character.
Subtle.
Coral, like Finding Nemo, or Aspen, Frozen, evoke a sense of adventure and wonder. If I said Aspen, would you think Frozen? I guess I don't know.
I would think, oh, you guys maybe are Arendelle. Fans of Colorado.
Arendelle's a beautiful name. I would sooner name someone that than Aspen.
Arendelle, yeah.
Or if your approach is places in the park, consider names like Liberty Square, Main Street, found in most parks, or or Horizon, Epcot, that this reference iconic locations.
This is
locations.
Main Street McDonald.
What? Can you imagine?
Also, I'm thinking of Liberty Bell from Juno, the movie Juno.
Yes.
Her little sister is Liberty Bell.
Oh my gosh. Main Street? What's that? And Horizon is maybe like...
Horizon, I could see. It's a very hippie name. Somebody
it is kind of
hippie-ish,
which is like good, right? If that's your thing, go
like
for it.
It's like rain or, you know, something like that.
But Main Horizon. Street, has, first of all, but that's the attraction they chose from Epcot. Horizon hasn't been around in 20
plus
years.
You're like, AI, how many horizons do you know?
I don't know any. I mean, I guess we need to expand our horizons. And then it also listed some character-inspired names.
Okay.
If you want to go classic characters, timeless names like Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, or Belle offer a subtle tribute. In what way is
subtle.
Mickey a subtle tribute?
Or Minnie at that.
Yeah, any of those. Belle is interesting that it went Fab Four and then Belle. No other.
Why not like Ariel?
Other, like, for that same time. Or what about some foreign words, Beth? Maybe later on, maybe 10, 15 years, you and I both have new dogs in our lives or something. We never know. Since we know we're not planning on having children. Not you and I together. We're not planning on having children, right?
We definitely aren't. No, but we are also not. With our significant others.
We are not. What about Hakuna Matata? We're a little Hakuna Matata.
I told Doug, I want to, side note, I was like, the next dog we get, I want it to be a female, and I want her name to be like Debbie. He's like, I am totally on board with that. I was like, really want a Debbie.
My gosh. That's wonderful.
Deborah.
I would like it. Deborah.
Yeah.
Deborah. Full Deborah.
Deborah. Yes.
Deborah.
When she's in trouble, it'll be Deborah.
Deborah.
But.
Don't Debbie. You dare.
And Deb Deb.
Deborah, what do you have in your mouth?
Yeah. Debbie.
if Hakuna Matata doesn't work for you, what about Lumiere? Honestly, I actually really like that.
Lumiere.
Little Lumi. Get out of here. I would love that.
Lumi. Lumi would be cute.
Lumi. What about beyond the movies? If you want to name your baby after Imagineers, maybe Walt Disney himself, or maybe Lillian. Maybe you can name your baby Roy. Or you can name things after Disney Park history items like, this is what it says. Consider names like Carousel. Main Street. Here we go again.
Main Street. What
or
is this?
Epcot.
Okay.
What? Get out of here.
Then it says, guarantee you someone out there is named Epcot.
I mean, probably. Balance is key. Choose a name you love that subtly incorporates your Disney fandom. Consider initials and nicknames.
Yeah.
So maybe if you want a Magic Kingdom MK, it would be Mary K or something.
Yeah. Walt Disney. This is Walt Disney McDonald. You guys big Disney fans? No, a family name.
It's a family name.
I've also always felt bad for people whose real name is Disney because like, there's so many things that are like, well, you can't do that because you can't use Disney. And it's like, well, what if your real name is Disney and
I think you
want
you
something that, like,
you just would not be able to sell things in a way that is confusing for the already established brand. I'm pretty sure is the rule. I'm not any type of lawyer on any of this.
I just wouldn't love it if my last name was Disney. I mean, unless you are an actual like descendant of Walt Disney, but man, good stuff. Main Street, get in here, Main Street.
Well, especially if you can give birth on Main Street. Like if you wait until it's like, and it's like, oh my God, it's coming out. And then boom, you better name that baby Main Street.
You better name that baby Emporium. can you imagine having your baby on Main Street? Like how would that even, you know what I mean? Like what if literally you cannot get, like you cannot.
If we're going to be realistic about this, I think the real option is for you to do it on Splash Mountain or Tiana's Bayou Adventure now.
I mean, I guess they would bring in, like, they would get a dolly in their ASAP, and not a dolly, but a gurney. They would get a gurney in their ASAP and be like, put you on and wheel you out. But
you know how when you're coming into the station on Big Thunder Mountain, as an example, and those brakes just really engage and you jolt forward, a baby could slide right out at that exact moment. Just
a baby could slide right out. Depending on how many kids you've already had, it could really...
This could be kid number 5 or 6. This could be little Lumiere on his or her way out.
Lumi. Lumi is kind of a cute name.
I actually think
like,
that's adorable, yes.
Lumi. Little Lumi.
Maybe the Lepcot.
Little Lepcot. we should think of our own. We should think of like real names though. Like what are some real Disney names though? You know what name
Sunny
I think
Eclipse.
Is really I really think Merida is such a cute name.
It is a cute name.
A little girl, especially a little ginger baby, little Merida. I'd be like, oh, yes, all day. There's probably a bunch of Meridas too in Scotland. And you know, they're like, yeah, that's a normal name here, Beth. We'd be like,
you know,
yeah, but Disney.
Instead of like a gender reveal party, which I don't know how to say without rolling my eyes, but what if we did a name reveal party and I announced that we're having a kid and our baby's name is going to be People Mover or something ridiculous.
People Mover.
I think it's
what
a great
it,
name.
Oh, what does that stand for? You have some family names? No.
No, just a big fan.
All right, should we move into our next portion?
Yeah, some fun with AI.
Let's do it.
So I have asked AI to come up with three things. So my portion here is I'm going to give you three descriptions. Could be an attraction, a hotel, a restaurant or something. And I had AI describe it in a certain way. And I'm curious to see what you have. So who do you want to go first?
How about I'll go first.
Okay.
All right, so do you want any clues or you just want to try to guess first?
Yeah, just read it out and let's see.
Okay, so my first one is, now these are all paragraphs.
Okay.
Is that what yours are?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. This says, step into a time-traveling spectacle as you embark on a journey through the ages, witnessing the evolution of technology and human ingenuity. Enter the grand hall adorned with flickering torches and weathered tapestries, where a wizened storyteller beckons you to take a seat. As the wheel turns, journey through the four seasons of life, from the humble beginnings of agriculture to the burgeoning advancements of craftsmanship and trade. Marvel at the innovations of the era, from rudimentary water wheels to intricate clockwork mechanisms, each representing a step forward in the quest for progress. Amidst the backdrop of war and strife, find solace in the enduring spirit of resilience and perseverance, as depicted through the tales of triumph and innovation woven into the fabric of history. Let this be a reminder that even in the darkest of times, the human spirit remains indomitable, forever reaching towards a brighter day.
My gosh, as in there's a great big beautiful tomorrow?
Yes.
That's so dramatic. That's Carousel of Progress.
It is.
Tomorrowland and Disney's Magic Kingdom Park.
Can you guess what the setting is?
No.
So I asked it to do the Carousel of Progress, but set in a medieval setting. In medieval times. So that's why it talks about, where did it say? Go back. But the innovations from rudimentary water wheels to intricate clockwork progress. I said war torn, like medieval
oh
town or something. Yeah. So that's what I did there. But you got it. You got the thing there.
Are you ready?
I'm nervous.
Yearning for turquoise whispers and sun-kissed shores, seek refuge in a paradise veiled in mystery where the rhythm of the tides serenades your soul. Cradled by gentle waves, this hidden sanctuary beckons with the allure of distant lands. Unwind amidst the verdant embrace of swaying palms and exotic blooms, where ancient stories whisper on the trade winds. Savor the delights of the islands where flavors dance on your tongue. You better get off my tongue. And tropical libations quench your thirst for adventure. Unveil the secrets hidden within the lava-sculpted walls where the spirit of exploration ignites your imagination. Embark on a voyage of discovery where myth and legend intertwine with the grandeur of nature. Answer the call of the South Seas.
Okay, so is this one of the water parks?
It's not a water park.
It's not a water park. Is it the Polynesian?
It is Disney's Polynesian Village Resort.
Disney's Polynesian Resort. Okay.
Turquoise whispers. That's a candle scent if I've ever heard one.
Did you ask it for a specific setting?
I usually have it, when I have it describe it, it's like describe such and such in vague terms or mysterious terms or things like that.
Okay, mine are all like specific settings
that
I would like for you to guess.
Okay, I'll try to do that. Now, with that in mind, I'm listening to this next one.
Okay. On the distant planet of Zephira, visitors embark on a spine-tingling journey through an otherworldly attraction at the Zephyrian World of Wonders. Step into a portal of eerie delights as you traverse through the ethereal corridors of the spectral state. Encounter holographic apparitions and interactive illusions crafted by cutting-edge Zephyrian technology, seamlessly blending the realms of the living and the beyond. As you glide through the halls aborting levitating hover carriages, experience a symphony of haunted melodies composed by AI-powered specters. Beware of mischievous Zephyrian spirits as they playfully disrupt your voyage, ensuring an unforgettable encounter with the supernatural.
I have never heard the word Zephyrian used more in my life in one setting. So this is Haunted Mansion, but it sounds a little more futuristic, like in a like a set in the year 3000 or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. I said the year 2050 on a distant planet.
Okay.
Like on another planet.
Yeah, yeah.
And it came up with Zephyria on its own.
I don't even know what is that a real real something?
I need to look it up because I didn't. Let me look. Let's see if it comes up with anything. Oh, yeah, it is. It's just like the name Zephyria derives from Zephyr, a light wind. It can refer to Zephyr and classic albedo features on Mars. It's like a Mars thing.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, there you go.
Interesting.
But yes, it was the Haunted Mansion.
Okay. Your next item, your next thing somewhere in Disney World is described by AI as the following. Step through the portal where clockwork wonders usher you into a kaleidoscope of colors. Embark on a whimsical journey, traversing lands bathed in perpetual twilight and sun-drenched shores. Witness a tapestry of faces, each holding a story, each connected by an invisible thread. Curious creatures peek from behind flowering facades, their expressions hinting at ancient wisdom. Mechanical marvels dance in a carefully choreographed ballet, their movements echoing in a universal rhythm. The melody lingers long after the ride concludes, a haunting reminder of the shared humanity that binds us all. Is it a dream? A memory? Perhaps the answer lies within the enigmatic smiles of the world's children. Venture forth, dear traveler. The world awaits.
Is it Small World?
It's a Small World.
Okay. Yes. My first thought was Spaceship Earth, and then I was like, wait a second. Small World. Okay. What did you put in for this one?
Same thing. Like, it's always the same description, yeah.
Oh, okay. You just did like a...
Clockwork Wonders usher you into a kaleidoscope of colors. How is that not on the Disney website for this attraction?
Yeah, seriously. They need to update their thing.
My goodness.
I'm like, take their description and make it better.
I also want to know what they think is happening with sun-drenched shores. Is that like in the one Polynesian room? Like, what are they talking about?
I don't know. All right. I think this one might be a little bit hard for you to guess. Okay. So listen carefully to some of the words that they use. In the heart of the bustling frontier town during the Gold Rush era in America lies a hidden gem known only to the intrepid travelers and weary prospectors, a lively saloon where fortunes are won and lost and tales of adventures are spun into legends. Step through the swinging doors and into a world of rowdy revelry and spirited camaraderie. The rustic wooden interior is illuminated by the warm glow of lanterns, casting dancing shadows across the worn floorboards. Take a seat at the weathered bar where a grizzled bartender serves up potent libations crafted from the finest spirits and ingredients sourced from distant lands. The air is thick with the sound of laughter and the strains of lively tunes played by a ragtag band in the corner.
Huh.
Strike up a conversation with fellow patrons, swapping stories of daring escapades and close calls in the untamed wilderness. As the night wears on, join in a game of cards or simply soak in the ambiance of this hidden sanctuary, a haven of merriment and escapism in a land where fortunes favor the bold.
My gosh, this sounds like a Wild West version of Country Bear Jamboree.
Mm-mm.
Hoop-de-doo?
Mm-mm.
No, it would be a ride probably.
Mm-hmm. It's not a ride, I'll tell you that.
Oh, is this in the Wilderness Lodge?
Mm-mm.
Oh my gosh.
You have the setting correct. That's why
now
I was
that
like,
they,
this
now that
might
it
be
mentions
a
band and libations, mm-hmm. which is why I thought it might be Hoop-de-doo. Mm. I don't know.
What are some other bars?
Trader Sam's?
Mm-mm.
Is it at a park or a resort?
It's at a park.
Oh, okay. Is this Club Cool?
No.
Could you imagine?
Potent libations from the finest spirits and ingredients sourced from distant lands.
Is this Oga's Canteen?
Yes, Oga's Cantina. I said to do Oga's Cantina, but
like a Wild West?
Wild Western.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's why I was like, oh, this one's going to be a hard one.
That was difficult.
Yeah. Because I was like, well, it's pretty obvious the setting, but.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. All right. You got me.
You got one more?
Okay. Yeah, I got one more for you. Here we go. Ascend the spiraling ramp. A metallic serpent beckoning you towards the heavens. Prepare for a celestial ballet where gravity bends and the veil between dimensions thins. Strapped into vessels resembling celestial eyes, you embark on a whirlwind voyage through a nebula of swirling lights. The ground falls away, replaced by a cosmic tapestry of stars and celestial bodies. A lot of celestial here. Strange and wondrous creatures flit past, their luminescent forms leaving trails of ethereal light. The air thrums. Is that a word? The air thrums with an electrifying hum, a symphony of the unknown. Centrifugal forces pin you to your seat as you careen through the cosmos, the line between laughter and exhilaration blurring. Then time loses its meaning, replaced by the pure, unadulterated thrill of the unknown. Do you dare to break free from the familiar and embrace the enthralling mystery? The cosmos awaits.
Is it Space Mountain?
It is not Space Mountain.
Is it the what are the spinning spaceship? What is
You're getting there.
Why can't I think of what it's called?
It's in Toy Story Land. And it's the certain...
Oh, Alien Swirling Saucers.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's Alien Swirling Saucers.
That's a good one. The cosmos await. I literally was like, Space Mountain? I don't know. Forgot about like you not really having a floor or whatever.
Mm.
Wait, do you have one more? Or is that was your last one?
That was my last one.
Okay. All right, my last one here. In a galaxy far, far away, nestled amidst the tropical paradise of a distant planet, lies a tranquil retreat that beckons weary travelers seeking refuge from the chaos of the cosmos. Set against the backdrop of lush palm trees and shimmering waters, this hidden haven exudes an aura of serenity and exotic allure. Step through the grand archways adorned with intricate carvings, and you'll find yourself transported to a world of adventure and relaxation. The architecture is reminiscent of ancient temples, blending seamlessly with the natural surroundings to create an atmosphere of timeless elegance. Wander through the winding pathways lined with vibrant flora and discover secluded alcoves where you can unwind and recharge. At night, the air is filled with the soft melody of traditional music, lulling guests into a peaceful slumber under the starry sky. Whether you're savoring exotic delicacies at the outdoor market or indulging in a rejuvenating spa treatment, every moment at this celestial oasis is a journey of discovery and delight.
Oh my goodness. So this is sounding like a hotel because it's talking about a spa. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I was going to guess Pandora, the world of Avatar at Animal Kingdom. My first thought was Wilderness Lodge because it used the word carvings. Mm-hmm. So that's my guess.
Not it.
No, no. Okay, wait. Is it Animal Kingdom Lodge? Is it the contemporary? And this whole thing was about how
it's
I don't know.
It's not contemporary.
What
okay. Lush palm trees.
Oh, did you also do the Polynesian?
I also did the Polynesian. That's what made me laugh. I was like, of course we did. Of course we had one of the same things because our brains
yes,
are so similar.
I tried
similar.
Hard too to like maybe try to pick something that maybe you wouldn't
I did
do.
Like Star Wars, but the
yeah,
Polynesian.
Yeah, I did get the Star Wars theme was a little obvious.
Because
so,
I thought.
Yes.
I was like, let's just see what it comes up with. They're so awkward.
Oh my gosh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
That's difficult. Your version of this, I think, is way more interesting because you have to like think about how the setting and the place doesn't necessarily match.
Exactly. I think we need to do more of these. I think next time I think we should do plot lines of movies.
Okay. To try
but
to
do
that.
Them in like weird settings and times and stuff so that we can try to figure out what it is. And then one thing I tried to do was I put in like, do not use the name of the attraction.
Okay.
So, because I was like, because we want the person to guess it. And so then it would like rewrite it to make sure that it's not using any of those terms. But yeah, I love this game. This is fun. We should actually probably do some of this with our Patreon hangouts too.
Oh yeah.
Where we do some AI stuff and have them guess. Fun stuff.
It's kind of an itty bitty nugget, but it's also kind of a big deal because I am someone who constantly brings my water bottle, my refillable water, which really just means I'm reusing like a Dasani bottle. But anyway, around the park. So finally, the My Disney Experience app has been updated to show the water fill stations around the parks.
That's nice.
Yeah. So if you type in like water fill station in the search, it'll show you on the map. It doesn't put it in a list form. It does just show it on the map.
Yeah.
But it is very helpful. Because one, there are fewer than I thought there was. Obviously, there used to be zero like this. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy with any progress. But it's very helpful because I've walked into places
has, like,
and I'm
a
like, hey, is there a water fill station here? And they'll say yes, but they'll point to the water fountain where people like, get to second base with the water fountain. And I don't want that. You want the one where it's just the spout that you can't drink out of. It's
where
just designed to
fill. It has
the
sensor and you just stick your bottle in and it goes boop. Yeah.
Yes. So not every resort has one, but most do. And then all parks do. It just depends on where you are. So within the My Disney Experience app, just search water fill station and you'll see it.
Yeah. I don't have anything for news, so let's go to history.
All right. Disney history. I'm sorry. Disney history.
History.
As always, brought to you by the Mouselets, who are going to be in town this week for a certain bachelorette party for M1.
They're getting wild.
Super exciting. So make sure you're following along.
Sweet. All right. I'm going to kick us off here. I'm going all the way back to 1980. And this is not this isn't like a Walt Disney World thing, but I thought this was really cool to think about. Good old 1980. As always, I get this from thisdayindisneyhistory.com. So 1980, Disney released its very first videotapes to the home VHS market.
Oh.
13 titles are licensed for rental to Photomat, which is a retail chain of photo development drive-through kiosks located in shopping center parking lots in a 4-city test.
Wow.
And then these are the titles. This is what I thought was interesting, the titles that they first released on VHS. So it was live-action features Pete's Dragon, The Black Hole, The Love Bug, Escape to Witch Mountain, Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, The North Avenue Irregulars, The Apple Dumpling Gang, and Hot Lead and Cold Feet. Three of the compilations of short cartoons previously released by DiscoVision, On Vacation with Mickey and Friends, Kids as Kids starring Donald Duck, and Adventures of Chip and Dale. So this was like the first big like home VHS market thing that they did.
Wow, okay.
Good old 1980. Yeah.
In the heyday of VHS, I guess.
That's right. If you have any of those VHSs, hold on to them.
Anyway. I'm going to take us back to 1999 for something we talked about last week. And we were talking about like old school MGM because we were talking about the question was, Beth, why do you use the phrase hashtag not my MGM? And we just were kind of rattling off some things that used to exist. Well, this week in 1999, Doug Live officially debuted. Man. Of course, it was based on the cartoon series Doug, which used to be Nickelodeon, but then eventually became an ABC / Disney show. But it was a 30-minute musical stage show, which I don't know was that long. I don't know why I just thought it was like a quick
That's
like
pretty long for
minutes.
Disney.
Yes. And it was performed five times a day, 1999 through May of 2001. So a little over 2 years that show was around in the very late 90s into the early 2000s.
Do you think they had Quail Man in that? Probably.
Maybe. Who knows?
All right, before Greg wraps us up with a quote of the day, if you like what you heard today, feel free to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also leave us a review on iTunes so that others can locate us easily on their platform of choice in the world of Disney pods. You can follow along with us on Instagram. Our Instagram account is ThatParkLifePodcast. If you want to leave us a question, you can do so there on our Instagram highlight. It's Ask Beth and Greg, so you can find that over there. To follow along on our personal Instagram accounts, it's for me, I'm at TheRealBethMcDonald.
And I am at the Disney Greg.
We also have some other projects, so if you want to follow us along over there, Greg has another podcast, The Quick Escape Pod, and you can follow him over there on Instagram at The Quick Escape Pod. Or you can follow me over at Simplistic Thrills for some Disney Universal merch, some stickers, things like that. If you wish to submit a request for an episode, share a magical cast member moment, look up a previous episode, pretty much send us a message if you just don't want to, you don't have Instagram, you want to email us, you can go to our website and do all of those things at thatparklifepodcast.com. And if you want to join our lovely gang of Diz nerds, you can head over to patreon.com/thatparklifepodcast and get lots more content. We have some different levels over there you can join us. We have more like private other things, other episodes going on with that. We have friends and family features. We have all kinds of stuff going on. But you can get into our Discord channel with that and even get a chance to do some planning with Greg and myself, the Gregspert, if you will.
The Gregspert.
Lastly, don't forget our Amazon shopping list. This is just a list on Amazon that we've put together of things that we like to use in the parks or some things for Disney running if you are into that as well. We do get a little kickback on that, but it is of no extra charge to you. Just some things that we have thought of that you may not have. So check that link out over there, and it'll be in the description of this episode. All right, Gregory, take it away.
I also am relying on AI for this quote.
Great.
So I asked for an obscure Disney quote that is also kind of inspiring.
Okay.
So it spit out a quote from The Rescuers, which perhaps is an underrepresented Disney project.
Definitely.
So this comes to us from a character named Madame Medusa, who once said, and I quote, "Cheese whiz is not a substitute for love." And with that, say goodbye. Enjoy your week, everybody. See you next week.
Don't forget, it is daylight savings this weekend. See you next week.
Bye, everyone.